forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Good morning. You're listening to Happy to Help. This is Nicole Smith, and this is Hunter and Chamber Radio. It looks like it's going to be bright and sunny today, high of 51 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low of 34. Again, partly sunny tomorrow, high of 59. So get out and enjoy that weather. Thursday night, then the chance of showers. Friday looks like more showers, 90%. Friday night, again, chance of showers. But then the sun comes out again on Saturday, high of 48. And we'll have sunny weather as well on Sunday with a high of 43.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunter and Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunter and Chamber Radio. We're also going to be Facebook Live today. If you want to check out the Facebook page, look up Happy to Help or search at Happy Hunterdon. And before we start with our guest today, I want to give a plug for the 10th Annual Women's Leadership Summit, which is coming up on April 9th. It's from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's going to be at the Hawk Point Golf Club in Washington, New Jersey. And we've got a keynote speaker from Cisco Systems. We've got LinkedIn, social media, public relations, breakout sessions, networking, lunch, and some giveaways. So if you want to check it out, go to the Hunter and Chamber website, hunterandchamber.org, and look up events. It's April 9th, and sign up. It's going to be a really nice time. So come check it out. All right, today we are excited to welcome Ruth Decker from Blink Now. Welcome, Ruth.
Thank you so much.
Closer. Ruth and I go way back. Well, it's funny, we've got a connection because Blink Now has roots in Nepal, and we're going to hear the whole story. And Room Tareed also started in Nepal, so we're both champions for literacy and education, girls' education, women empowerment.
Right.
And yeah, I know, exactly. So Ruth is the chief operating officer of BlinkNow.org, if you want to check it out. And they also have a Facebook page and Instagram and all that stuff. So, Ruth, can you tell us a little bit about just your background in general and how you came to Blink Now?
Sure. I started almost exactly 6 years ago. In 2013, I first heard about Maggie Doyne from my husband. Hans is really involved in philanthropy and knows about, you know, hundreds of organizations in New Jersey. So when he kept coming home talking about Maggie Doyne and this remarkable young woman who had, you know, a lot of children in Nepal, I started to pay attention and really wonder what was so special. And with his encouragement, I looked her up on social media and looked her up online, and I came across this video. It was a Do Lectures video that was 20 minutes long. And she was describing her path where she had, you know, decided to do a gap year instead of going to college. Along the way, she discovered this problem she didn't know about in Nepal with orphan children who had, you know, been victims of a civil war. And she got to a point in the talk where she said she saw a girl breaking rocks by a dry riverbed. And she thought to herself, what have we become as a human family? And her voice cracked, and my eyes welled up with tears, and so did hers. And I had this feeling of, yes, that's what we need in this world. We need to be thinking about the children of this world as our children and extending the sphere of who we care about. And I'd been to a peace conference in Newark just a few months before where the Dalai Lama had essentially said the same thing. And it really just struck me to the core. So when I finally had the chance to meet Maggie, she was getting office space by that time from Hans at the Community Foundation of New Jersey. I just said, I'd love to help. You know, I'd be involved in any way that you need help. And it turned out that they really did need help. Maggie's father, who had always kind of shored up the operations in the U.S., had moved to Nepal to be the grandfather there.
Uh-huh.
And they were actively seeking somebody who could be kind of like a jack of all trades, you know, a generalist, I like to call myself.
Good.
So I talked to Maggie. I talked to the board members. Eventually, it was decided that I would come on board as the director of operations part-time, which meant that I could keep the job that I had currently. And when they gave me the job description, it was hilarious because it was about 5 pages long.
You know, jack of all trades.
Yeah, sort of, you know, volunteer management, development, accounting, you know, you name it. And I said, I think this is a job for about 5 people. But they said, oh, you'll do it just 2 days a week. And right away, we hired an accounting manager who was just top-notch because I knew that that was going to be too much for me. Mm-hmm. And we needed somebody who was really stellar in that position. But we've grown from there. And, of course, now it was never 2 days a week. It was quickly three and then five and then seven.
Yeah.
But it's been so rewarding because, you know, at the time that I started, the organization was fairly small. We've quadrupled since then, and now we do, in fact, have not just 5 staff people in the U.S., but 8, and mm-hmm. we have a lot of specialists. You know, the generalist position, you know, I've become more adept at different things within the organization, but we have a development team, we have a communications team, we have, you know, an accounting team here and in Nepal, mm-hmm. and it's been just a privilege for all of us to be a part of it. You know, by all of us, I mean my whole family.
Right, and you talked about it perfectly. Where you were taken by her story, but what I try to tell people is just dip your toe in. I mean, you get sucked in pretty quickly, but once you dip your toe in, or you just kind of start to investigate and look around, and if it feels right, then you know you do get sucked in. But you love getting sucked in, right? It's a good thing.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. It's kind of like drinking the Kool-Aid.
You know, I talk about that all the time. Yes. And well, I love what you said because we're all a human family. Because I know there's needs in Hunterdon County, there's needs in the U.S., but there's needs all over the world, and it doesn't matter who you're helping or what you're doing, as long as you're helping somebody, whether they're near or far, and, you know, it's like you said, extending the sphere of who we care about, and we're all inhabitants, we're all neighbors on this giant sphere that is the globe, right? So I'm with you on all of that. So I think I think people don't realize some of the statistics. So I was reading on your website, 37% of girls in Nepal are married before their 18th birthday.
Yes.
That was on, UNICEF. So people just don't realize. When I talk to the middle school kids, I'm like, how many of you are married? And they're like, what? And I'm like, well, in a lot of countries, and it's been proven and documented that, you know, helping girls stay in school benefits the entire community, the entire planet, really.
Yeah, so the entire GDP of a country goes up if girls are educated. Even just one more year of secondary school increases the GDP by 3%.
Right, I know.
Crazy statistics.
It is crazy, and people need to know these crazy statistics. And we talked about this a minute before, but so Maggie, she was an athlete. She was a stellar student. She was ahead, you know, she was on track to go to college and be, you know, queen of the world, and she ended up skipping college and is queen of the world because she took a gap year. And especially we were talking about with the breaking news of all these people creating or committing fraud to get into this Ivy League institution, and it's just not worth it. So so we need to talk about how important it is to take a gap year if that's right for you, or go find yourself. And if you want to talk about how, maybe she's talked about how much the gap year changed her life,
absolutely. And I think she's inspired other people to take gap years. Certainly one of my daughters was right on board for the gap year.
Good for her.
A la Maggie Doyne. And it was perfect for her. She got to see a lot more of the world and felt more prepared when she did eventually enter college. My other daughter has no desire or need for that. So I guess it's different for different children. But certainly for Maggie, it opened her eyes to what was going on in the world. And I think at that age, you're kind of susceptible to new ideas in a way that, you know, maybe later on you're not. It's a really important time to carve your path and craft who you are. And now I feel like Maggie's gotten that education. Like, we may all look back and laugh. My kids are in that, you know, race to make sure that they get into the right school and make sure that we're all paying dearly for it. But a lot of the young people who have come to work for Blink now have gotten some great on-the-job training. Mm-hmm. Right now we're recruiting for our summer team. Oh. And, you know, we're looking for young, enthusiastic people, looking for talent that we can plug in and then hope that they will agree to stay and become long-term staff people there.
That's great, and that's what I always tell people too. Even if your child is in college or in high school, or they've got a summer break, or they're not sure what they want to do, volunteer. I mean, you've got skills, you've got energy, you've got ideas. Volunteer with an organization, and then you can develop your soft skills. You're working with people, you're developing skills. There's so much to gain from every age. To working with a nonprofit. So
I should be clear that we at Link Now don't have positions for gap year students for kids that young, but we do take kids who are college graduates or even mid-career people who want to commit at least 6 weeks for the summer and hopefully they months work, and years after that.
Right. Will they work in your office for the summer? Is that what it is? Or is it... Okay. Explain it.
We actually do have a summer internship program also here in New Jersey. And we take young people for the summer. And then we have a couple of positions on occasion. You can go to blinknow.org/team and see what kinds of volunteer positions we have in the U.S. Some of them are remote intern positions. We have often social media and development help that's needed. So those are some ways to get involved. And then certainly the people who volunteer early are more likely to be accepted for volunteerism in Nepal later.
Right. So you have volunteers in. Is there a gap year program through Blink Now or no? No. Okay. I was just checking because I'm trying to get the facts straight. But
we don't really have any volunteer positions for kids under 21.
Okay. No, that's good to know. Well, and I think too, people are always like, how can I help? Or I want to go and I want to visit. And I get that with Room to Read all the time. They're like, well, we've got this great idea and we want to spread it through all the Room to Read locations. I'm like, no. I mean, and Blink Now and Room to Read, they protect the kids. Like, you just can't have anybody walking in there because it's a very fragile environment and it's very focused, and you got to protect the kids because that's who you're helping.
You're right. We want to create a sense of normalcy for them. Yeah. We don't have visitors coming.
Right.
We do have one premier volunteer experience that we offer people, and that's with Desai Camp. Okay. Desai is in October. The kids are on break at that time. Oh. And so we bring in a team of volunteers that help for 2 weeks. They come from all over the world, and they, teach crafts. They teach yoga or meditation or event planning or rafting, whatever their skill and expertise is. Then it's a way to expose the kids to, a variety of new disciplines and activities and ideas, and keep them busy during a time when maybe if they went back to their homes, they wouldn't have even a steady source of food, but let alone stimulating activities.
Yeah. Oh, that's ideal. That's perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about how the whole Blink Now got started and the orphans and things in Nepal after we take a quick break.
Okay.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. We're also on Facebook Live today, Happy to Help or at Happy Hunterdon. We're talking with Ruth Decker, who's the Chief Operating Officer of Blink Now, blinknow.org. You can check them out. And Blink Now was started by Maggie Doyne. She took a gap year and ended up in India and then by way ended up in Nepal and changed her whole trajectory for her life. And so we're going to kind of delve into a little bit about how everything got started. It was a little girl breaking rocks, and there had been a civil war in Nepal, right? And there were a lot of orphans. And then take it away, Ruth.
So when Maggie got to Nepal, she came to a village called Calicut. And, you know, imagine you're a child in Calicut. You have, you know, a house made out of mud. You have no real access to school except a school, you know, 2 hours walking away. You know, the food that you have access to is just the food that's grown in your garden. So electricity, running water, all of those things are out of reach for the most part. And so many of the kids were orphaned. She was there with her friend who was from Calicut and whose house and village was pretty much destroyed during the Civil War. And I think at that point, she didn't know what she wanted to do, but she knew she had to do something. So she was going to pause and, you know, take some time and figure it out. One of the people that she had worked with at a refugee center in India was Topmala, who is now the co-founder with Maggie. And he's from Calicut. He's from that village. So the two of them together scouted out and planned a children's home in, it's not in Calicut, but it's in Sirkat, and it serves some of the kids in Calicut. They purchased a piece of land that at the time was $5,000, which was exactly the money that Maggie had saved up to go to college from her babysitting funds. She wired back to Mendham, New Jersey, and her parents somehow agreed to send that money. And that's where the home is today. And if you see the home, it's grand. You know, I couldn't imagine it from the photos and from what I'd seen, but when I finally saw it firsthand, it's the most impressive structure in the whole town. Mm-hmm. You know, it's four stories high with big solar panels on the top and a vessel for water and biogas, and it's really substantial and solid and such a haven for, right now there are 36 kids in the home, and that's a little bit misleading because there are actually 53 kids that are served in the residence, but starting in 10th grade, they move on into independent housing. So we have a batch of kids that have just moved out into apartments in the area. They're still supported by our staff. They're still, you know, coming back on Fridays for dinner and movie night and satsang and those things. But the home is really the flagship program, and it's so impressive. You know, I came from a background where I was working in residential treatment for kids in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And so way back in California, when I finished college, I was working at a residence that served basically the same population as this residence in Nepal mm-hmm. serves. But we weren't doing it with the sort of love and compassion at all. And it's difficult to do that, and it's difficult to do it right. And it's actually the impetus for Maggie starting the home. She didn't like what was going on in orphan care. She didn't like the examples that she had seen, and she wanted to take that one human family aspect and create that. So the kids are raised as one big family, one really big family. And, you know, it's everyone calls her mom, but it's a team of caregivers. You know, we've got the really, really big-hearted, generous folks from Kathmandu, Sachem and Akriti, who are the home caregivers. We've got aunts and uncles. Tope and his family all live in the house and take care of the kids, too. Mm. And then, really beautifully, they all take care of each other. we're at a point now where as the older kids move out, new kids move in. So one of the new kids that came in 2 years ago, she first came into the school. It became obvious that her family couldn't take care of her adequately. Her mother had died, her father and two brothers, they were all living on the street. You know, they made their living by begging in the market. It was no good life for a child. So when she came into the home, she was a wild child.
I love it.
She was really a diamond in the rough and actually wasn't verbal. You know, at first it seemed like, oh, maybe she just doesn't know English. But she didn't really have good verbal skills in Nepali either. And she expressed herself with, like, really physical, you know, physical expressions on her face, but physical and sometimes aggressive body movements. And over just a little bit of time, the older kids helped to embrace her and shape her and bring her in. And now when you see her, she still has those very vivid facial expressions, and you probably see her on our social media all the time. But she's, you know, her physical self is so controlled. She's one of the best dancers. You know, she's a really, really strong communicator. She's such a love bug. Mm. And it's all, you know, she's just been initiated into the culture of the home,
yeah.
You know, and embraced by that. And you still see her brothers come to the door sometimes and look for her. But, you know, what an opportunity. Yeah. What an opportunity for her to thrive now, which she wouldn't have had.
Well, and I love that. I love the family, the sense of community. And I may have mentioned before, when I was growing up in the Midwest, my mother's oldest sister had 8 children of her own, but they were very involved in the church and the community in Michigan, and they had like 25 people living in their house. So, because people just knew that if they needed help or they needed something, they would just show up at the door and they would take them in. And I loved going there for holidays because it was just a wild party and just people and interesting things. And so that's what, I mean, I always said I wanted to have a big family to create an environment like that. And so I think I need to go visit the house. I would love it. I might never leave. But I mean, it's true that the kids take care of each other if you just give them the opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
That's great.
They really, really do.
So they started with the home, but then they realized you need food, you need school, you know, so it just expanded from there, right?
So it started with just 6 or 7 kids in a home, and they were going to school locally. And the schools in Sirkat are improving, but the school that they were sending them to used corporal punishment. You know, it was kind of basic. The Nepali curriculum is very much about rote memorization, studying for these national exams, and that's an important part of the, you know, Nepali landscape also. But Maggie wanted something better for the kids, and in 2010 she opened the Coppola Valley School, first with 200 kids going up to 6th grade, and then each year after that adding another class of 30. And so now we're up to 12th grade. We've graduated 3 sets of kids, and it's remarkable. You know, the qualifying criteria for getting into the school is that you would be orphaned, semi-orphaned, or otherwise destitute in some way, have a deficit at home. And screening those kids is one of the most heartbreaking jobs, because there are so many kids that qualify for that. Mm-hmm. But we want to make sure that the most needful kids are well cared for. There isn't another school in town where you get a free, nutritious, healthy lunch. That schools don't serve lunch. Mm-hmm. There's not another school where there's no corporal punishment. There's not another school that provides medical care and so many enrichments and free tuition and books and uniform.
Wow.
And so to give that gift to the kids, it's like they've won the lottery.
Yeah.
And then they get all of the services that go along with it. And what we're finding is that even though we have the most needful kids, the test scores coming out are fabulous. So it's, you know, it's one of the most successful schools also. Mm-hmm. And this is all done so far on rented land, a school made out of bamboo, thin walls and a tin roof that's really noisy when it rains and teachers having to shout above the monsoon rains, you know. And yet it's all, you know, going very, very well. And part of it is the teachers that we've been able to attract I sometimes think of Sirkat as kind of the Detroit of Nepal. It's a place where there aren't a lot of economic opportunities. It's a place where a lot of the people who are skilled and gifted and upwardly mobile, they leave. So it's really difficult to get people to come and to stay. Once you train a teacher, you know, then they have the opportunity to go to another position, another post, Kathmandu or somewhere else. So we have this challenge of getting people to stay and be invested and continue with us. And we're winning that battle. Thank goodness for our teachers and, you know, for the fact that we're able to retain them. And then we have a fabulous team of folks who are helping with the curriculum, including a top-notch principal, Naim Sir, who's from Kathmandu, and a curriculum development specialist named Jaden, who's from Canada, and a teacher from the U.S., Franny. We'll soon be recruiting more people to come and support the team on the ground. But it's remarkable. And, you know, I think Maggie's been asked a lot about the secret sauce, you know, what has made it so successful. And one of the things is the heavily enriched curriculum. It starts with kind of a Montessori based in, from the early years, a Montessori based curriculum. And then, you know, it goes on with slam poetry contests and debate teams and, you know, an amazing dance and theater arts program. So the kids don't just, you know, learn their math and curriculum facts. They're really involved. It's fun to see them when the first young people come. You know, they're 4 years old, they're 5 years old. They're diamonds in the rough, like the girl that I described. And then they get their uniform, and they put that on for the first time. And they're learning about brushing their teeth and the facts of hygiene and washing their hands and walking in a line and, you know, expressing themselves with words. And they just evolve. You know, that first few months that they're in school, you see them becoming copulas. Copula means bud. And that's, aww, you know, they're just blossoming. And then it goes on from there. The leadership training program is very, very strong, too. The kids are divided into houses, kind of like Harry Potter. So sun, star, moon, and they wear the colored shirts. And then they kind of compete throughout their grades for points, you know. So it's a multi-age, multi-grade competition that I think creates a lot of camaraderie and a lot of pride, too. So, you know, the older kids are the vice president, president of Star House, Sky House, Moon House, and they make sure that the other kids follow suit and don't talk in line and, you know, are proud of who they are.
Right. So they're developing life skills as well. So, they've got academics, they've got enrichment, they've got life skills, they've got community. And the one thing I remember hearing Maggie talk about is she was this young, inexperienced, non-college educated woman in Nepal negotiating all the deals for the land, the building, and in a country, in a community where women were not valued, much less foreign women coming in to like make their stake. And so she's, you know, beyond anything in her skill set and her ability to make all this happen, which is incredible.
It's incredible. And people see dollar signs on your head if you come in as a foreigner. There's a funny story where, you know, they're trying to buy land where I want to talk about our new campus too.
Yeah.
But, you know, like the word got out in town that there, you know, Coppola Valley was going to buy some land. Maggie Doyne was going to buy some land. And so wherever she would go to look, they were trying to jack up the price, et cetera. Yeah. So one of our board members was visiting Jeff DeLillo, and they sent him out to a field to kind of do a proxy deal, you know, pretend that they were buying land over there. Well, really, Topji and the others were up buying the land that they now have, you know, in another spot so that they could throw them off their trail. And it turned out that they got the most beautiful land. Like, it's just glorious. It's just sort of nestled in the jungle, and it's rolling rice paddies, and you look out over the valley from there. The air is cleaner. The temperature feels cooler. It just feels less dusty and, you know.
And this is the new school? Is this okay, so tell us about that, because it just opened last month, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been 5 years in the making. It's an environmentally sustainable school. We're calling it the Green Campus, and it's the greenest school in Nepal, maybe one of the greenest schools in the world. It's, you know, we're working towards being carbon neutral. The earth of the walls is called rammed earth. It's this red clay that was taken directly from the ground and literally rammed like adobe, like the pyramids, and it will last forever.
Wow.
And it will be earthquake resistant. You know, wow. It sort of has give, so we're very conscious of the fact that, you know, we're in an earthquake zone.
Yeah.
It should be a model for other schools like it in the future. It's got these stone pathways that, you know, like wind around and reveal gazebos and outdoor classrooms and, you know, a suspension bridge to get to the other side of the land where they're growing a lot of the food for the campus, and the kids can learn in an outdoor classroom about horticulture and agriculture and growing their own food. All the kids have little plots that they tend with their classmates. It's just going to be an amazing environmental learning experience for them. And then all the sustainability systems that are a part of it are really incredible and really innovative. For example, there's a solar cooker that's going to generate all of the gas and energy needed to cook food for 500 people every single day.
Wow.
The solar panels are producing so much energy that we can actually give money back to the grid in Sirkat. And, you know, solar is the next big thing there. All the runoff water is being used for cleaning and hand washing. The black water and the gray water will be used also and not released until it's absolutely clean and purified. So it's really amazing.
And you can you tell us a little bit about the, like you mentioned a minute ago, the weather in Nepal and the landscape and the people when you first went, what, a few years ago was your first trip? I forget.
I guess I went 5 years ago for the first time. I waited a little while, and I'm not sure why I waited so long. I think I was worried that if I left the U.S., there wouldn't be anybody to take over and do the things that I was doing here. But once I saw it firsthand, it was just, I thought, well, this is an experience I wish everybody could have. It really illuminated for me everything that was going on there. The school is a huge departure from our rented school and the bamboo and tin. It's very substantial. It's temperature-controlled classrooms now. There's still not going to be a heater or an air conditioner or anything like that, but the walls are 18 inches thick, so you feel cool in the summertime. You feel warm in the wintertime. They've created energy flow through the windows that's going to maximize the cooling effect during the summer and during the monsoon. The roof is padded, and so it's going to keep away the heat, but also minimize some of the noise. In the old classroom, I don't really know how those teachers could teach, because you would have to raise your voice to get the classroom lesson out, and the teacher next door was raising their voice, and the walls were so thin that you would hear all of it. And it's just going to be such a nice, beautiful learning environment that the kids really, really deserve.
And how often are the monsoons? Are they in the spring, or when do the monsoons hit? In the fall?
It's July and August primarily. It sort of starts in June, and then it's really going strong in July and August. So that means that there's a risk of flooding. There's a risk of, you know, the solar going out because there's not enough sun to sustain it.
Yeah.
And it for some reason means that a lot of people get sick, and I don't know what that.
Well, the
dynamic
dampness
is.
Maybe, or like
I think it has something to do with the waste flowing into the water system. And that's when I go.
That's when I go every summer. You go every summer now?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's amazing. But you were just there for the opening of the school, right?
Yes. And that was spectacular. That was spectacular. Now, most of the classes have moved up to the Green Campus. We still have the nursery kids whose classrooms aren't ready yet, and the older kids, we need to get some temporary buildings for their classroom. But it was spectacular. We had a lot of our big donors for the campus join us and see the school for the first time. We had a lot of our staff people's families come. It was 1,500 people for kind of the biggest party I've ever been to.
Nice.
There was spectacular dancing and speech making, and the weather was really, really cooperative. It was big.
Well, so if you were all there, where did you stay? Did you stay in the nearest town, or how? I'm just curious about logistics for just for anybody who does go.
There's a hotel near town that where we stayed.
Okay. Yeah. And then what's that like? It's just is it just kind of a dirt room, or it's not the
no,
it's not the Ritz, is it?
Okay. it used to be a family owned. Now it's a chain. There are several hotels. When my husband went, he said, "This is the worst hotel I've ever been to." And then by the end of our stay, he was like, "This place is so great. This is the best." And, you know, I think it's because the contrast with how everybody else is living, you know, you've got
perspective
all the time. You know, there's food.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's primitive. And when I was warning guests about it, I was saying, you know, bring your own sheets, you know, maybe you want a bed bug cover, you know, bring your own towel because it's going to be disgusting.
Yeah.
And then it's all relative.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and too, when when we moved from Southern California to New Jersey with all the kids and everything, there was a period about 3 weeks where we just had to stay in like one hotel room, and the one kid slept in the bathtub on a cushion, and so because we were just and it was the best because we didn't have all the stuff, you know. I just cooked, you know, we had a little kitchenette, and we just didn't have all the stuff. It was just us, and you know, and simple is so much better. So many, you know, so much of the time.
No, you've captured something there. I think whenever I see the kids, you know, they're playing with five rocks and they're having a great time, or they're bouncing a rock on their ankle and they're having a great time, or they're listening to your stories, or they're playing some game with their hands. They don't need all the things that we think we need. And it puts it all into perspective. You know, you don't need more than three outfits in your life. You know,
yeah.
When I get back, I'm always like going to the refrigerator water dispenser and looking at the clean water coming out and flipping on the lights and looking at how clean everything is and how amazing that is and the things that we take for granted. You know, it's pretty spectacular, the contrast.
Yes, and the U.S. has become consumers by design. So when the plastics were introduced, I think I was looking up, so China produces the most plastic waste, U.S. is right behind, and then I think Germany is third. So we're consuming all the resources and creating all the landfills, and, you know, I've got an overstuffed closet I probably should get, you know, said that was all by design. The garment or the industry wanted to create a economic consumerism, you know, and we've like jumped right into it. So now we just have to change our habits, you know, whether it's just taking a canvas bag to the grocery store instead of using the plastics, you know, which it takes some time to change your habits. So
I'm so guilty of that. And you know, one of the projects we haven't talked about is our women's center. You know, things evolved, as you said, you know, kids needed a place to live. The children's home was built. We needed really strong education. The school was built. Then kids need a really happy home life. And who's providing that for them but the women? And the women in Nepal have a lot of obstacles against them. And domestic violence is very prevalent. The economy makes it very, very difficult for women to work. They're not given priority for education. So this whole generation of moms was sort of left out of the education system. Most of the kids have moms that are illiterate and don't have gainful employment. So the Women's Center was born with that in mind, and it started training women for sewing skills, then moved to weaving skills. Now we have a beautician beauty parlor training that's ongoing. And in between, women are learning about human rights. They're learning about, you know, menstruation hygiene. They're learning about gender awareness. And it's been really, really successful. So much so that our batch of graduates from the weaving and sewing training have formed a separate for-profit cooperative that's fully owned and operated by them. And we, on BlinkNow's webpage, blinknow.org/goods, are selling their goods here in the U.S. for the first time. That just started this past couple of months.
So exciting.
And so you can get your reusable bag
there
and
you
take
go.
It to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that we'll develop more things like that. You know, we maybe don't need to buy so many products in the world, but if you buy a reusable bag, you know, that's going a long way to reducing your own plastics use. And I'm thinking that they may be able to come up with some other bags that would help with your lunch or your
definitely.
Bulk needs.
Yeah, and they're just such, they're incredible fabrics and they're fun. And I always tell people for gifts too, whether it's Easter or any holiday or teacher gifts. I always enjoy trying to get something interesting for the teachers to gift. Do you have something?
I do.
We can show it on the next break. We'll get it out. We can show it on the Facebook Live so people can see all the amazing things. So, well, why don't we take a quick break and then we'll talk a little bit more about all the amazing things that that Blink Now is doing.
Okay.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on 100 in Chamber Radio. And we're on Facebook Live today if you want to check us out. It's at Happy 100 in or Happy to Help. You can look it up. And today we're talking with Ruth Decker, who's the Chief Operating Officer of Blink Now. You can look them up at blinknow.org. And Ruth has been to Nepal for every year, a couple times for the last 5 years. And so she's going to share some more stories about some of the kids that Blink Now has helped.
Yeah, I want to talk about one girl in particular who I think exemplifies the kind of transformational effect that Blink Now has on the kids. Her name is Deepa, and she won't mind my telling her story because she herself has told it very publicly. But she started with us that first year in 2010 when the school opened. She was 10 years old, and she came to Coppola Valley School as a child whose father had abandoned the family and whose mother had been in a terrible accident and had become disabled. So Deepa and her brother were really on their own financially. She received a full scholarship to Coppola Valley School that included medical care, included tuition, books, you know, everything she needed, of yummy, nutritious lunch every day. And she came every single day, and she was bright-eyed and worked hard and went home at the end of the day and did the grocery shopping and cooked meals in there. They lived, like most of our families, in a house made out of mud and sticks with a cement floor and a tin roof. Families who live like that don't have running water in their home. They have intermittent electricity, even in our town. And she took care of the cow, and she cleaned up dinner, and she, you know, studied in the dim light that she had, and she came back to school. And year after year, you know, worked very, very hard. And one day, she tells the story, she was downtown and she saw a woman really well-dressed, high heels on, clicking along the pavement. And she went into a bank and Deepa said to the person next to her, "Who is that?" And she was told, "Well, that's the accountant." She, like, really internalized that, that, you know, was seared in her memory. And 10th grade came, Deepa's one of the top students. 11th grade comes, she's focused on management. She secures a position with our accounting team as an intern with a stipend. And she's working in there every day after school. And then through our Futures program, which I want to talk some more about, she becomes one of the recipients for the loan program, and she's accepted for university locally to a BBA program where she can learn accounting skills. And she's still, you know, going home every day, taking care of the cow, you know, cooking, shopping, you know, washing dishes at the well every single day. And now, lo and behold, Deepa has been hired by Blink Now. She works with me. And I just messaged her this morning, can you pay this travel bill, this receipt that just came up? And she is the one who's well-dressed and clicking her little heels on the floor.
As
she goes, she's my fashion icon. But, like, God bless her. She gets up at 5:30 every morning to walk to university. She's got her classes done by 10:30. She gets to the Blink Now office at 11. She works from 11 to 3. And then she goes back to university, and she still takes care of that darn cow.
Wow.
And, you know, has to – she's got the weight of the world on her shoulders. She's the breadwinner for her house. She's putting her brother through school.
Wow.
But she's going to have a different life than her mother. And that's what she wanted, and that's what she created for herself. And I give her all the credit. She gives Coppola Valley School all the credit. Mm-hmm. When you talk to her, she tears up and says, you know, it's because of all the support that she had through Coppola Valley School that made it possible for her to be successful.
Yeah, that's an incredible story. And I say it all the time. It's like you can't be what you cannot see. And she saw that woman, and it hit her like a lightning bolt, and she was off and running, which I just love. You know, you never know when it's going to hit you. But if you've got the opportunity of education, there's nothing you can't do. So good for her.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're exactly right. And we, a program I didn't talk about is our Futures program. It's the one that I'm almost the most proud of. We've got this dynamo on the ground, Anjali Ballur, who's U.S.-born, of Indian descent, you know, kind of bicultural, speaks Nepali, really strong leader who's crafted this program for readiness. It's, you know, a checklist of things that the kids need to know before they leave home. It's, you know, college readiness, career readiness. We now have a career counselor. It's a loan program. Kids can submit if they've got a really stellar business idea and a mentor and a plan. That can go before a committee, and they can get funding for it. So one of our kids went off and, you know, started a chicken farm.
Nice.
And he's really successful. And, you know, the first time we were living and learning, the first time all the chickens died because they weren't vaccinated. So then we said, well, you need a mentor also. You need that to be part of you. You need another chicken farmer to help you along the way.
You don't know
so
what you don't know, right?
Yeah. Back on his feet, and he's doing it. And that same student came to us from the ag school where we're supporting his education, and he introduced mushroom farming. So now on the new campus, we have these two mushroom huts that, you know, he's helping all of us learn about mushroom farming. And
yum.
When I was there this past time, we all had a big feast of mushrooms, you know, cut from that. But the program is so strong that now we have our first pool of graduates. We have kids that are studying in Kathmandu, kids that are studying in Sirkat, kids at the egg farm or egg center, kids in nursing. We even have three kids studying abroad, one in Pennsylvania, one in at Drew University here in New Jersey, and one in Senegal, believe it or not. So the Futures program is just unbelievable, really. It's one of the things that I guess in the field of orphan care, it's one of the most important things, that you get people not just to the finish line, but across the finish line, so that they have all the tools that they need to be successful. So we're committed to supporting our kids from the home up until age 22, and other kids are eligible to apply for a loan program, to apply for assistance also. And we've got partnerships with different universities in mm-hmm. Nepal mm-hmm. where kids are getting free and reduced tuition for classes.
Wow. So above and beyond and soaring into the future, right?
Right.
Go ahead.
Made me think of it was if you can't see it, you can't become it. One of the things is a speaker series. You know, we found that the role models locally are lacking because the economy is so depressed, because the parents didn't have very many opportunities as a result of the Civil War and other things. They might see farmers and shopkeepers and teachers, but every time somebody new would come, a beekeeper, you'd ask the kids, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, a beekeeper or an architect or, now they see journalists. Now they see, people in a variety of professions come in and they want to be philanthropists and helpers, and
that's incredible. And I think the other one you wanted to mention was the Big Sisters Home, right?
Yeah. I remember in one of my first visits walking through town with Maggie. It was a Friday afternoon, and we were going to the riverbed community where a lot of our kids live in mud huts near the river. And she was lamenting that so many of our kids really needed residential care. And it was, attention. They need to learn to live in this community. They need to be a part of their homes. We need to make their homes better. But sometimes their homes are beyond what we can provide. The girls especially are at risk for early marriage, for even trafficking.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the kids really don't have the support of any relatives left in their lives. And so those girls, were screened, and we now have a Big Sisters Home. Mm-hmm. And the Big Sisters Home is serving currently 6 girls. It can go up to 14. We're, looking at admitting more kids. And to see them come into care, and they no longer have to work, as it's called, a kumari, when you work in somebody's home.
Yeah,
of the kids literally have been sold.
I mean, there's a whole Girl Rising has a whole 12-minute segment about a kumari in Nepal. Yeah. She was freed and got educated through Room to Read. So it's definitely, the practice is outlawed legally, but still goes on, right?
It still goes on. It absolutely does. So those girls now get to join the soccer team and study for their exams, and their scores are going up and up, and their self-confidence is going up and up. And I think when you have to worry about your daily survival and violence, you can't really focus on your studies.
Yeah. You're just trying to stay alive.
So it provides a new opportunity for those girls. And on that same walk to the riverbed, we visited first a family of a child that I sponsor. We do have a sponsorship program for whatever amount you want to give, but $120 a month is the cost for a full sponsorship of a child.
And then do you get to identify with that child?
Yes,
you get a picture or whatever?
You get a picture, you get the story, the bio.
I think some people like the connection like that.
I absolutely do. Yeah. I scan the internet for pictures of my boy. I want to hear about him.
I think that's good. If people don't need that connection but want to help with meals, or you've got different sponsorship or donation levels on your site too. Right.
If you go to our website, blinknow.org/wishlist, there's a whole list of ways that you can be helpful. If your primary interest is in supporting women, $720 a year supports a woman in our women's center. If your primary interest is in sustainability, you can fund our solar program. If you love health for children, which who doesn't, it's $100 a year for primary care for one of our kids. And we also have a Roots program. What I know now from, the way I live is it's not always thinking about giving. I might really be concerned, but giving monthly is kind of like my subscription to Netflix or all of my other subscriptions. It just comes out of my paycheck. I don't even really notice it. And that's how I do my sponsorship.
A good way to put
it. It's pre-tax, just goes right out.
Yep.
And so that helps me. And I think that's kind of a modern way. So we have this program called the Roots Program, and you can give at a level that's comfortable for you. If you want to give $15 a month and know that that's sponsoring our feeding program, you can do that.
Yeah, if we think about just how much we spend on coffee per day. I mean, right?
Yeah,
or you know, Netflix or something. That's a good way to put it. I mean, you could really transform someone's life with $15 a month or $100 a year or whatever, you know, and get to pick what has meaning for you, whether it's education, you said, or health, or
right.
sustainability, or
yeah,
food.
I mentioned teachers earlier, and you know, for $3,200 a year, you can fully support a teacher and make sure that impacts not just that teacher, but the 30 kids and many more kids that teacher interacts with. And it helps us to, you know, continue a free, really excellent education for all of our kids.
Yeah, that would be a cool thing, too, for a bunch of local teachers to get together and just donate a little bit and say, hey, we're teachers here helping teachers abroad to educate our world. Like,
yeah.
That would be a great idea. Just gather your teacher friends, whether an association or PTO or whatever, and help support learning for girls, women, kids that are part of our entire human family.
Yes, I love that. Here in Flemington, one of one of Maggie's first board members, Lori Hay, has a bakery called The Mixing Bowl, and they have been very supportive, and they've had, you know, bake-off contests that, you know, the proceeds come to Blink Now.
Oh,
it's,
nice.
There's so many creative ways that people can sponsor, you know, people have peer-to-peer fundraising campaigns, they give up their birthdays, kids do car washes, sell Christmas ornaments, you know, it makes such a huge difference for us.
Yeah, just get creative. That's why I always say, take something you love to do and turn it into a fundraiser. It's as easy as that.
Yeah.
Right? And then pick a cause that you love.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me of one of my favorite sayings of Maggie's, which is, you know, don't wait. You don't need to wait until you're educated. You don't need to wait for, you know, a big income. Take your gifts, whatever they are. If you're free, if you're educated, use your gifts to better the world, like you're doing with this radio program, shining a bright light on all the paths that people can take to being helpful. You know, everybody has something that they can do.
Right, and I'm not shy about saying that I'm totally selfish because I love every minute of it, and I'm just one of the lucky ones that found something that I love to do that in turn helps others, but there are so many opportunities out there, and you can do it too. Maggie did it. Ruth is doing it, and we thank you for your story and all your stories, and check it out, blinknow.org.
Thank you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Pressure continues to mount on the US FAA to ground Boeing 737 MAX 8 aircraft after two fatal crashes of that type of plane in 4 months' time, the most recent on Sunday in Ethiopia. Add former Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood's voice to the growing chorus of those saying they should be taken out of service here.
Until not only the Boeing safety inspectors, but the FAA safety inspectors working in collaboration with Boeing inspect these planes and can give 100% assurance that these planes are safe.
Nearly two dozen governments have now grounded those planes. Former Trump campaign chief Paul Manafort's in a D.C. federal courtroom at this hour as a judge will be deciding shortly what his sentence should be after pleading guilty to conspiracy and witness tampering. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, Charlie Jones here. So, the folks at MyPillow said, hey, Jones, can you try out a MyPillow and let us know what you think? And I thought, yeah, but what did I have to lose? But you know what I lost? Interrupted sleep. It made a serious difference for me, so I'm letting you know that you need a MyPillow too. It stays cool all night long. No more waking up to flip to the cool side of the pillow. It keeps its shape. No more wrestling your pillow in the middle of the night. And one thing you will love, you can toss a MyPillow into your washer and dryer, and it comes out looking like new again. It's made in the USA, and here's something new. They used to have a 60-day money-back guarantee, but now, with your purchase, you have until March 1st to return it if you don't absolutely love it. Go to MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com. Click on the Buy One, Get One Free special. Use my code USA, that's promo code USA, and you'll get one free pillow when you buy one at regular price. Take advantage, folks. This is their best offer ever. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the Buy One, Get One Free special. Enter promo code USA. That's promo code USA at MyPillow.com.
One of the stars of the sitcom Full House will face a federal judge in Los Angeles today on bribery charges. Actress Lori Loughlin was one of dozens charged in a massive college admissions bribery case detailed by the FBI yesterday. It centers around nine coaches at elite schools around the country who accepted bribes from dozens of wealthy parents. Ed Sanderson is a college prep trainer not associated with the case. He says the tragedy is many students will lose faith in the admissions process because of these things.
They're working really hard, and they're like, hey, if anybody can cut the line and really just pay, write a big check to make that happen, what chance do I have?
A big heads up if you live in the central U.S. as an intense winter storm that meteorologists refer to as a bomb cyclone is threatening that part of the country today. It's rapidly intensifying, expected to bring blizzard conditions, as well as flood threats and hurricane-force wind gusts from the Rockies to the upper Midwest. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you